I believe that's it. Our special guest, you ready to go? This, and give it up for Pastor Andy. Come on in.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, actually, I talked to a couple people who are not doing that well. So how many of you are actually, you're struggling coming in here today? Yeah. You know, a lot of times we feel like you got to put on a big smile when you come to church, and this is not a place to pretend. This is a place to be real. And so if you're struggling, I'm glad you're here today. Hopefully this will be a time where you encounter God, and then you can go back and fight whatever battles you need to fight, but encouraged and strengthened by God's presence. Okay, what book of the Bible are we in?
John.
That's very little enthusiasm, a little
John.
Bit more than that.
John.
We're in the Gospel of John. And what chapter of the Gospel of John?
11.
12. There's a little bit of disagreement. How many of you think we're in chapter 47? There aren't that many chapters. We're still in 11. Chapter 11. And who remembers anything that Rob, that's the guy sitting right here, he was the teacher last week, who remembers anything that Rob said last week? And you could say anything to me because I was actually downstairs last week speaking down there. So refresh my memory. What did Rob talk about? He talked about what? He talked about his wife? What? He has more hair than I do?
Yeah.
How do we walk?
Mourn.
How do we mourn well? Okay.
He actually talked about, you know, like Jesus. You know, we want him to do something right then and now.
Yeah.
But he was saying how, you know, he's like blasé. Hey, you know, I'll do it when I'm ready to do it.
Yeah.
So I know I mentioned to him about be mellow and wait on the chicken to come.
Okay. All right, we're actually looking at the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And we've taken 3 weeks to get there, but this week he's actually going to get raised from the dead.
Okay.
But in the course of this kind of lead up to today's lesson, Jesus has encountered Lazarus' two sisters, whose names were
Mary and Martha.
Okay, got Mary and Martha, two different kinds of people. Martha tended to be real practical, let's get the job done, and Mary was more emotional and sensitive. And part of the lesson is Jesus interacts differently with different kinds of people. There's not a one-size-fits-all, what does love look like? So with Martha, he really challenges her faith. You know, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And with Mary, he weeps and groans. Shortest sentence in the Bible. Jesus wept. Shortest sentence in the Bible. So last week, we saw him interacting with Mary. The week before that, interacting with Martha. Now we're going to see him interacting with Lazarus. So he's going to interact with all the family members. And then next week, Bruce, we're going to see how people react to the resurrection. If you saw somebody raised from the dead, how would you react? And Bruce will get into that next.
Be running.
What was that?
As
a millennial? I don't know. Okay. The great message, and I think, you know, Paul in the passage from Philippians today, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The great message of Christianity is we believe in somebody who has conquered death. That's what Easter's celebrating. Jesus was raised from the dead. We believe in somebody who's stronger than death. It may seem like we actually planned this out so we'd be doing Lazarus right around Easter time. We're not that smart. We just kind of set up, we're teaching through John, and we sort of ended up on this idea of raising somebody from the dead right around the Easter season. What do you think of that? The idea that somebody can bring the dead back to life.
Yeah.
I will tell you, all of Christianity hangs on this.
Yeah.
This is the big deal. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, hey, if the resurrection is a lie, then everything we're talking about is just nonsense. He says, you might as well just go eat, drink, and be merry. If this life is all there is, if there's no life beyond this world, all of Christianity hangs on the truth of that. And that's why it's a serious subject. I joke around a lot, but this is a serious subject. Do you believe, as he said to Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this?
Yes.
So we're going to dig into that a little bit today. Just to remind you, how many English majors here? One. Okay, we got one. You read a book, and it's always, what's the author's purpose? Why did he write the book? And ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the Gospel of John. But at the end of John, John tells us why he wrote his Gospel. And this is going to show up today, by the way, at least part of this. It says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The whole purpose is to bring you to faith in Jesus. Are you willing to trust him? And as you trust him, you will enter into a whole new kind of life. God wants to give you a whole new life. He doesn't want to just put Band-Aids and duct tapes on the life you've got. You know, I'm a drug addict. God just didn't want to patch me up. He wanted a whole new Andy. We're new creations in Christ. God wants to give you a whole new life. Okay, so let's take a look here. He's just met with Mary, and now they're going to get to the tomb. It says, then Jesus, deeply moved again, some of the translations say he groaned within himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Or as it says in the King James, Lord, he stinketh. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Okay, so here we're coming up to the tomb. Those kinds of tombs, typically they'd have a disc-shaped piece of stone that they would roll. And most of those tombs would be like a family tomb. So you'd put a body in there, and then some years later, you put another one in there, so they'd kind of roll it back and forth. It says, deeply moved or groaned. You know, how many of you have been around a dead body? Yeah. Remember a few years back, we were one of the guys, John Stark. He was a Satan worshiper at Elmwood Jail. That's Corrine here. So, yeah, we were just talking about John. Accepted the Lord, came here, actually shared a bit, and then was killed in a motorcycle accident out on Highway 101. And his girlfriend Jill called me up and from the hospital and said, Andy, John's been killed. Will you come up to Stanford Hospital? So I go up to Stanford Hospital thinking I'm just going to see Jill. And they escort me into a room, and there's Jill with the dead body. You know, it was covered with a sheet. But as I'm talking to her, she pulls back the sheet. And there is the body badly injured from a motorcycle accident. And her tears are falling on the body of the man she loved. There are no words. When you're watching a woman's tears falling on the body of the man she loved, you can just groan, deeply moved. I don't know if Terry's here today. It's Terry. She called me up when her son Jason died of an overdose. Andy, I'm down in San Jose. The body's in the house. come down to San Jose. And I'm out there, and Rick and Bev were there with me. And the coroner brings out the body in the body bag. And Terry just collapses to the ground. What are you going to say? It's beyond words about all you can do is groan and weep with the person in those times. And Jesus, when I first read this, well, why is he deeply moved? Why is he weeping? He's going to raise the guy from the dead in 2 minutes. But the reality is Jesus saw the separation that death brings. Death is an intruder. It is not something that God wanted in his creation. This is not something that he wanted. And he wept seeing the heartbreak that death brought into the creation that he never wanted that to be a part of. His thoughts on that. I think, you know, I saw the hands go up. Many of you, I think, have either seen a dead body or you've lost somebody that you've cared about deeply. And it's beyond words. And people say, oh, you'll get over it. You will not get over it. You'll learn how to move forward with life, but all of life is different after that. Yeah, Kathy?
I think as Americans, we're not really comfortable with the idea of death.
No.
And we don't want to feel it, and we don't want to suffer through it. I mean, in other cultures, they're groaning and crying and feeling the actual feeling that you have of separation. Americans have found a way to make death much more palatable.
Yep.
But, you know, it's kind of hard to know how to move through it when you know you're supposed to feel it and then you're supposed to feel encouraged.
Yeah.
How does that doesn't always follow easily.
No, it doesn't. Other thoughts? Because we're trying to dig into this. I'm trying to bring the idea of death forward. If you get the reality of death and the heartbreak of death, then you start to realize how amazing the idea of the resurrection and somebody who has power over death is. If you just sweep it under the rug, sometimes I think you don't see just how amazing the good news of the gospel really is. Yeah, Andre?
I mean, Pastor Andy, it may sound cruel, but I mean, don't we have to die? I mean, who wants to live on this earth and eventually like tales of the crypt?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, guess what? 10 out of 10 people still die. Right? You can go to all the Pilates classes you want. You know, you can eat all the kale you want. You know, all the essential oils you want. You're still dying. The death rate's still 100%. Nobody gets out of here alive unless there's the rapture, in which case we will get out of here. But that idea of somebody says death haunts the corridor at the end of every life. There's some sort of sense, I'm going to die too, my loved ones are going to die, and we have something, it says in Hebrews, Jesus came to set those free who had lived their whole lives in the fear of death, as slaves in the fear of death. Some people never live because they're so afraid of dying. Jesus came to set us free from that with a hope that goes beyond this world. Yeah, Dave?
You know, when I was a child, an aunt that I was very close to died, and it was very, very difficult. She was a Christian, and my mother was a Christian, and my mother said to me, you need to understand there are a lot of things worse than death for a Christian. And I've never forgotten that.
Yeah, Kelly, more.
Well,
and talk loudly because people in the back can see.
Okay.
Okay.
I ran from death when my mom passed in disease, alcoholism. I ran, you know, I left the hospital, went and got drunk more and all of that. But then in my father's passing, it was in the hospital and I was there with him.
Right.
And it was the recovery and the strength that the higher power that I had at that time that allowed me to be there. But then, you know, it's like I was all brave or whatever at first, but then, you know, after he passed, I just broke down. You know, I totally just, you know, cried my eyes out there right at his side, but I got to say goodbye.
Yep.
But that it's either, I think we either run or, you know, or we...
Or we're just in denial, or we want to sweep it under the rug and pretend it's not going to happen,
yeah,
like, or whatever.
No big deal.
Yeah. So like I said, the idea of what's happening, they're there and they're confronting the reality of death. And Jesus says, roll away the stone. And you're putting yourself in Martha's shoes, and Mary's there too, I'm sure. And it's a hot climate. Bodies start to decay quickly in warm climates. And the first thing that comes to Martha's mind is there's going to be an odor. And it's like, you know, yeah, he stinketh. Well, the idea of the body of somebody you love, and you're smelling that smell of the deterioration and the decay of the body that you used to hug and laugh with and joke with. And the horror, the reality, there's no avoiding it. We can't just la la la, and it didn't happen, it didn't happen. You're at the tomb, and now you're actually going to be inhaling the air with the smell of the decaying body of somebody you love. There's no, let's avoid this, let's be in denial, let's pretend it didn't happen. We need to confront the reality of death. And, well, let me get you guys talking more. I'm talking too much. What do you make of that? Yeah, Julie?
I'm wondering if maybe that's why Jesus waited so long to get there. Because I remember what happened on 911, and I watched it on TV, and I was just in shock for a few days.
Yeah.
And then I remember President Bush saying on Friday, go to church and pray and wear colors. And I wore the colors, and I went to my church next to my house, and I prayed. And I think by then I figured out a bunch of people had died. And I was just in shock. And these are people I didn't even know. So maybe by the time Jesus got there, the emotions of the death, the finality of death, had sunk in a little more. So people really realized he's really dead. He's not.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, and the other two, Jesus did another couple of raisings from the dead, Jairus' daughter and the son of the widow of Nain. But they had essentially just, they had died, and then just an hour later or something, he raised them back. This guy's dead, dead.
Oh, yeah, dead, dead.
It's final. He's gone. He didn't just kind of pass out and come back to consciousness. I would suggest to you, too, they're rolling away the physical stone, but in some sense, some other kind of stone is being rolled away from Martha's heart. There's something that's separating her from encountering the reality of her brother's death. And Jesus is going to encourage her. She's pulling back. Oh no, I'm going to smell the stench of my brother's body. And he's calling her to move forward into this experience. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory? Hang in there. Keep the faith. I know you're tempted to pull back and withdraw from the horror and the stench of your dead brother's body. But let's roll away whatever may be standing between you and this experience, whatever doubts you may have, whatever fear you may have. And a lot of us, moving forward into the miracle that God has for you. Whatever, removing whatever doubts, whatever fears, whatever thing is calling you to pull back, God may be encouraging you. It's time to move forward. There is a miracle for you, but you've got to, instead of shrinking back in fear, you've got to move forward in faith by the power of God. It's not something you're working yourself up into. I'm going to feel more faith. God, give me the faith to move forward into those things that I'm tempted to withdraw from. And that's where you'll see the miracle, is if you keep moving forward in faith and not shrinking back in fear. Yeah, Rick?
Yeah, it really shows the power of that Jesus' resurrection and resurrection that's promised to us, in that either Lazarus' body wasn't decaying during that period of 4 days, because Jesus' power was keeping that from happening, or as they rolled away the stone and he raised them, he reconstituted his body.
Yep. Don't know. one of those. Plenty of questions for heaven. Don't know the answer to that one. Okay, now Jesus is going to... You know, the longer I'm a Christian, there's a lot of mystery. People come to me and they say, Andy, what's the answer to this? And why is God letting this happen in my life? And there's a lot of times I'm going, you know, there's just a lot of mystery. I don't have all the answers, but I'd encourage you to keep the faith, because someday, maybe not in this world, but in the next world, we'll understand why these things have happened. When I'm with Terry with her son's dead body, when I'm with Rick and Bev after their son Brian died, I don't get it. I confess to you, I'm mystified as well, but let's keep our faith that God's doing something bigger than we can currently comprehend. This is where, you know, I gave you the quote earlier, these things are written so that you might believe. This is what Jesus said. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Lord, I thank you that you hear me. I know you always hear. Jesus doesn't have any doubts about whether to, but he says, I thank you because I know you're going to do something that is hopefully going to bring others to faith. What do you think of that? What do you think about being thankful before the miracle? God has been teaching me a lot about that. How can you be thankful in advance? It says in Philippians chapter 4, maybe we'll get to it in a week or two. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. To pray with thanksgiving for what God is going to do before he's actually done it. To have that confidence that from God's standpoint, it's already a done deal. And I'm praying to you with thankfulness, even though the whole situation right now is complete nuts. But I'm trusting that you're going to do something in the future that's good, and I'm thanking you in advance, knowing that's going to take place. That's, I tell you, that takes an act of the Holy Spirit to be thankful before something happens, knowing that you can trust God for a good outcome. Yeah, Case?
Plus, we trust him because we know his character.
Yeah.
That's the only way we're
Yeah, he's a good God. You see, if you ask for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you a snake. That's the one. That's one of scriptures.
Well,
not going to give you a rock.
It
feels that way.
But when you read James, you realize it's all the big picture. He's looking at.
Yeah. The problem for us is it doesn't look good, taste good, smell good, or feel good. And so it takes the faith. I know you're a good God. You're doing things that you're going to use for some good, even though it makes no sense. It looks horrible to all my physical senses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. To my own understanding, it doesn't look good. Help me to keep trusting you even when everything's screaming out. A loving God wouldn't let this happen to me. And like I say, I'm not trying to trivialize anything anybody's going through. I know some of you are going through hard stuff. And so I'm praying that God would help you to hold on to that sense that something good is going on, even though everything is screaming that it's not. Let me get Andre in there.
You and I, we always talk about this. I mean, like, we listen to all this stuff, but I've been fine trying to find what's the alternative besides God.
Yeah. Well, how many of us here? I've gone to all the other places. I've gone to sex and drugs and rock and roll. And so even when it's hard for Jesus, at one point Jesus says, you know, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you know, you won't be my followers. And lots of people left. And he said to his followers, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where else should we go? I've been to all the other places. They haven't delivered. So even when you say tough stuff to me, Lord, help me to continue to believe. Because in some sense, you're ultimately the only game in town. You're the living water. All these other things are poisoned watering holes. All the alcohol I drank. That was a poisoned watering hole. Okay. There was another hand. Bruce, you had a hand?
Yeah, you know, kind of along the lines of what Case was saying, the she was saying that his character, we know his character, and I know his character because he's brought me through some things that I thought I would never come out from underneath, over and over. And so when I get to into dark places now, I remember that he brought me through, and he can bring me through.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Anybody hear memorial stones? Anybody ever hear that term? It's out of the book of Joshua. But sometimes, remember what God has done for you in the past. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And sometimes it's good to go back and remember, you know, God came through for me in this situation. These are kind of like monuments in your life. Go back there. And that'll help, hopefully, to renew your faith. Yes, God came through for me in the past. He's going to keep coming through for me in the future. Okay. Well, here's the kind of the big moment of the passage. When he, namely Jesus, had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Somebody said, it may be true, that it was important that he say Lazarus, because if he didn't say Lazarus, everybody in the area would have come out. Right. All right, so today I just want Lazarus. So I'm going to let Lazarus, you come out. Now, so this is the idea that God... You know, and what back in the beginning of God, in the Gospel of John, it says about Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the author of life. He can call forth from the dead to life those who have been dead. He is the source of life, and he can speak life into any situation. What do you think of that? Somebody actually just commanding, come out, and the dead become alive.
How is she going to allow them?
Well, yeah. Well, I only hesitate because Lazarus died again. He's not around today. There's a difference between, somebody said, between a resurrection and resuscitation. Right, Lazarus, in some sense, was resuscitated. He came back to the same body he had before. The body I ultimately want to come back with is a new body, not subject to all the stuff that I'm going through now. So I trust that when we get to heaven, you'll look at me. You know, you'll know you're. I'll know you're you. You'll know I'm me. But hopefully, I'm not going to be this kind of older, bald guy. You know. We'll have a different body. It says in 1 John, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Whatever body, we don't know the details, but whatever kind of body we do get, it's going to be very similar, like of the same kind as Jesus' resurrected body. So I don't want to come back from the dead with the same body. I'm looking forward to that final resurrection when I get a new body. And it says in Revelation, in that day, the Lord will wipe away every tear, for there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. So that's the resurrection, I guess. But yeah, go ahead.
It seems like, I mean, everybody in this room has somebody they wish they could live a few more years. Like my dad, I wish I could have had him a few more years. But it's like people pray this all the time. Nowadays, nobody gets healed anymore. Nobody raises from the dead. Even though you can... asking the same questions.
Yeah. And I don't want to suggest that God can't do that nowadays. And I think we've been given enough to kind of to go on, but
One of the things that when we talk about asking questions in heaven, one of the things that's not recorded is what Lazarus's reaction.
Yeah. He doesn't. This guy doesn't say anything, by the way.
He was in heaven for 4 days. He might have said, "Oh no."
Why are you bringing me back? And you know, with those of you who have lost loved ones who have faith in Christ, the reality is they're doing better than they've ever done. When I'm doing memorial services, I don't weep for the person who's died. I weep for us and our own loss. Somebody precious has been taken from among us. They're doing better than they've ever done, and I think probably wouldn't want to come back if they were given the choice. And the second thing is we'll see him again someday. The truth, the basic Christianity is our loved ones are fine. We'll see them again. And that should hopefully comfort us at least a bit as we go through this time where we're forced to live without them. Okay. There was a hand up. Was it Eric?
Yeah, hi. We just lost a close family friend yesterday. She actually passed away on Thursday, but we found out yesterday. And like you were just saying, she was a Christian, and I know she's back home. But it's us, that our family, we're scared now. We're scared, and it's our fear. And you want to be brave and courageous and show others that, hey, we got it all together, but I'm human, and we're scared.
Yeah.
And I imagine that's what Mary and Martha were going through. So.
Now, it's interesting here, a couple of things. Comes out... He's wrapped. The idea is probably they were different ways of wrapping bodies. It's probably like the arms and legs were each kind of wrapped separately, as opposed to an Egyptian mummy. Because how could you walk out if you were like an Egyptian mummy? So it was probably sometimes people say, well, so it's more likely that the arms were kind of wrapped independently, the legs were wrapped. He's still wrapped, however. We'll get into that in just a second. You remember, how many of you know the story when Jesus is raised from the dead? The grave clothes are left behind. He's not wrapped. And we'll talk about that a little bit. The other thing I would want to say to you is that each person that you meet who is not yet a follower of Jesus is in some sense dead.
Absolutely.
It says in Ephesians, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins hath he made alive, King James. If you go through the world, and this is the way I often go through it, it may sound kind of morbid to you guys, but this is the way I go through it. The reality is I often feel like I'm walking through the cemetery.
Sure.
And I'm praying that God would bring someone who's dead to life.
Sure.
And the reality is when people accept Jesus Christ, they are effectively coming alive from the dead spiritually. That's all about, you must be born again. You need to become alive spiritually in the same way you have already come alive physically. But the idea is, well, I'm praying God raise somebody out from the dead and make them alive to you. That's the core of Christianity. We believe in resurrection power. I want people to come back from the dead to the life that God intended them to have. Now, I want to get focused on this grave clothes thing. Okay, look at the next verse here. This is the last verse we'll look at. How long is this guy going to go on? Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Right? He's kind of a little encumbered here. He's got a whole bunch of, grave clothes on him. What do you make of that? I actually think this is incredibly profound, but we'll see. Maybe not. Yeah.
People might be afraid to approach him.
Might be afraid to approach him?
Yeah. Nobody approached him if he's having to tell them to unbind him, right?
Okay, a couple things. Yeah, Kelly?
Well, then he can't do it himself.
He can't do it himself. Kind of let me dig into that a little bit. Let's say you have become a Christian. Hold on one second, Alan. You have become a Christian. You have come alive spiritually.
You believe.
You're a new creation in Christ. I would suggest to you that when each of us comes alive spiritually, as if we are still bound in grave clothes.
Yep.
There are still parts of our old life that are trying to restrict us. I'm a new creation, but I'm in an old body. I've got old thoughts, habits, attitudes, weird ways of doing things. And even though I'm alive like Lazarus, I still need, in some sense, to be unbound from all the habits and addictions that are still trying to keep me restricted. Also, the interesting thing is, Jesus uses other people in the process. He doesn't suddenly just go, poof, and the grave clothes disappear. He could have done that. Lazarus could have come out and he just goes, poof. When he fed the 5,000, some of you remember that story. He could have just had the fish and bread float through the air to the people. But he asked the apostles, you take the stuff and serve it to the people. He allows us to participate or be a part of what he's doing. In some sense, he's working through us. And what I'm saying here is, I think God uses us in the lives of other people to help take off their grave clothes. That God works through you and I to help set each other free from the things, from our old lives and habits and the flesh and the world and the death. All these things are trying to bind us. And God says, I could just do it directly, but I am going to use my followers as part of the process of unbinding people from the things they're seeking to restrict them. Yeah, Alan, you had a hand up.
That's pretty much what I was going to speak about.
Yeah, go for it, man. Go for it.
We all have that blind spot. And I don't think any of us ever get unbound on our own.
Yeah.
And that the body needs each other in the synergy, like the redwood trees, the roots grow together, or they're so tall they would just all blow over.
Yeah.
That there's a need for us to help each other get out of our bondage.
Absolutely. And this is kind of what I'm pushing towards here, is this idea that I think healing occurs within a community. Now, God does it directly sometimes, I agree. But part of the body of Christ, the recovery ministry, recovery, this is a healing ministry. I think all of Christianity should be a healing ministry, but specifically the recovery ministry is all about healing people from whatever drugs, alcohol, and all the other things, your pornography, your food addiction, your sex addiction, whatever it is. Praying that God would do that, and he does that typically within a community because each person here is differently gifted in terms of your spiritual gifts, right? Somebody's a hand, somebody's a foot, somebody's an eye. People that don't come to church, I tell them, you're just an eyeball rolling down the street, right? You need to be connected to the body. You've got some gifts that'll bless other people, but you lack some gifts that other people have that they can bless you with. This is what it means to be the body of Christ. And yeah, I know, we're all works in progress. We can all be pains in the necks and step on each other's toes. That's why there's so much about long-suffering and forgiveness. But this is how God intends us to work, is each of us using our different spiritual gifts to be a blessing to each other, and then to reach out to a lost, broken, and hurting world that desperately needs the Lord. Hey, Kelly?
Well, on the second part of that, it's unbind him, you know, release him.
Yeah.
But then let him go. So in other words, don't cover him up or anything. Let him go.
Yeah.
Let him go out into the world or let him.
Yeah, and for us, I'm kind of last point, and we'll get to some sharing. God works in you, but he also wants to work through you. You come in here, most of us, when we're new in recovery, we're ripped up and torn up. We can't do anything for anybody else. We're just near death. But as you've experienced healing, then to go out, and God will start to use you, and you start to find your focus shifts from it's all about me and my needs to, Lord, help me to bless others. Help me to bless others. I keep trying to work myself out of a job with addicts and alcoholics. It's not looking good, man. The statistics are just getting worse all the time. So the fields are ripe. The laborers are few. So God's healing you, but he wants to send you. He wants to let you go out into the fields to reach out for others that are bound up in their addiction or whatever sin that they're struggling with. Okay, well, let me pray, and then we'll get some time for sure. Yeah, amen. Lord, I do pray that in the midst of this, your spirit has been at work. We need ultimately to hear from you, speaking through your word into those areas of our lives where we not only need to hear from you, but to be changed by you. Help us not just to come and play church or something, but help us to be the church. Help us to truly be your followers. And Lord, make the changes in our lives that need to be made, but also use us. Help us to go out into the world where men and women are suffering deeply and need you deeply. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Right on, right on. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. Thank you.